Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. I so greatly appreciate it. And also, I want to say at the head of this is thanks so much when you reach out and you tell me what shows you like. What cracks me up is the ones I think that aren't that good are the ones that you guys absolutely adore. And it makes me laugh a little bit. But I notice that there's kind of a theme, and it's when I show my vulnerability. And I find that very interesting. So I'm going to get really vulnerable today. We're going to talk about something that happened at my home the last week. And what it was I had this little bit of time off. And by the way, I'm not good with time off. I get super squirrely and my mind races and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, and I start getting fearful of the future and, you know, what am I going to do next or something like that, instead of just enjoying some actual time off. Imagine that. So my husband, as I've talked about him in the past, and I can safely because he doesn't listen to my podcast, is, you know, extremely OCD. Now, my mother-in-law does listen to the podcast, and she doesn't always like that term. So what I'm going to say about it is I don't think it's a bad term. I think, one, I'm kind of jealous of the way he has an order to life. You know, I'm a little... Well, not a little. I'm a lot less organized than he is. And when we met years and years ago, he came into a home of what we call the Gilmore Girls. It was myself and my daughter. And our house was a wreck. I mean, my Jill Jack booking and everything was done in the dining room. There was posters, cards, CDs, you name it, piles of songs, lyrics, and just a total mess. To me, it made sense. Well, for someone who's OCD who walked in, he couldn't breathe. And he was like, what is all this? And so I went on the road. And when I came back, he had literally, well, he grabbed my hand and he said, I want you to take a deep breath. And he said, don't freak out. And I'm like, what did you do? And he's like, I just did some cleaning. And I'm like, oh my God. And he literally put a filing cabinet in my dining room, and he color coded like my song lyrics, like bookings and everything. And at first I just freaked out. I couldn't handle it. So as the months went on, little piles would show up. He'd hug me and I could feel him like tremor, because I'm like, you're looking at the piles, aren't you? And he's like, yeah. So we found a balance, which is great. But he built 1600 square feet onto my home, and I got my own office out of the deal, which took all the Jill Jack stuff out of the dining room, which was really nice, actually. And I found that when he cleared things out, I could breathe better. I could breathe better. It was weird, but I could breathe better. And he then attacked the garage, this little garage that I had. It was a one-car garage that I never parked in because there was so much stuff in it. Well, he went and got one of those, you know, big things where you can throw all the junk in. And it took two of them, those big ones where they drop it off in your driveway, two of them. And again, I was on the road when he did it. So when I came back, I said, what did you do? And he's like, well, look at the garage. And it was super neat and everything. And I was like, wow, that's incredible. But where's my stuff? He said, name one thing you're missing. I couldn't. And you know, it's been 12 years. I still can't name anything that he threw out. Isn't that weird? So this week, when I had nothing to do, I decided to tackle my office at home and just kind of clear out the space. I was going to see what I could do with that. So I turned on that Marie Kondo. I'd always heard people talk about her, and I never watched it. People are like, oh, you have to watch her show. And she's this wonderful little Japanese woman who has, she's an author, and she basically, her idea of everything is tidying up. So she literally tidies up things, and she has books about it. I mean, seriously, how great is that? And I thought I printed something off, but I didn't. So anyway, she has this approach, you know, to gather everything together and put it in a big pile. And so my husband sees me watching this and he gets all excited. He's like, oh my God, are you seriously watching her? Are you seriously going to do this? And I'm like, just be quiet. Let me watch it. And so he sits down and watches it. My daughter walks in. She starts watching it. The next thing you know, this woman has inspired the whole family to clean. So here I was. You're supposed to take whatever object it is, whether it's a book or clothes or whatever, and decide if it sparks joy. Now, like, we joked about it at first and we're all like, is it sparking your joy? Are you feeling anything? But more and more I was like, oh, I get it. So it motivated me and it helped me a lot to get rid of a lot of stuff in my office. I think one of the things that was hardest was photographs. I have so many photographs of me singing over 25 years. It's the same pose. It's just a different background. But a lot of times people drop the photos off like on my front porch or somebody takes them and I just keep them because I feel guilty. But in the meantime, how many times can you look at yourself in that position playing that gig? I mean, sometimes it's like, oh yeah, so obviously I'm going to keep the ones where I open for Bob Seger or something like that. But so my husband said, well, what are you going to do with all those? Why are you going to keep them? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe my grandchildren will want them. He goes, really? Think about it. They're going to sit around and pull out grandma's. He said, you know, they can look on the internet. And I'm like, I know. So there was this box that just annoyed me all the time. They had stacks and stacks of photos of me. I threw it away. I still feel weird, though. I got to say, I still feel weird. And yeah, Remy, jump in anytime you want. But Remy's with me today, of course, my lovely producer, and we love to chat. But it's just so odd feeling to get rid of it. But I wasn't emotional. Like, so I watched this Marie Kondo show, and there was a woman who started crying. And I thought, oh, come on. Seriously, you're crying over a shirt or something? Well, the next day, we were having a progressive on my block, you know, dinner. So people were coming in. Well, my husband decides that we're going to start attacking the cupboards in the kitchen. And there was these plastic plates that I got at Target. They were $2.99. Okay. And you could buy like, you know, 10 and you could get a discount. Well, through the years when I was broke and a single mom, I would just go and buy like 4 because that's all I could afford. Well, eventually I got like 20 some and I love to entertain. So I would use them instead of paper plates. So my husband bought this new beautiful set from Costco and he says, okay, it's time to, you know, what do you want to do with these? We should really get rid of them. And I said, okay. And he goes, well, here, remember what Marie says. So thank them. And I put my hand on it and I started crying. And I'm like, seriously, you're turning into that lady on the TV. And I'm like, why are you crying? And my husband's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I don't know. And so he goes, we'll talk about it then. It's so funny because he's not exactly Mr. Emotional. So he's like, well, what are you feeling? And I said, I just remember that these plates were so, you know, was like a part of our lives when I was struggling so badly. And I just remember like feeling guilty about buying them. You know, should I be buying cans of tuna instead? You know, and so all of a sudden, how much we become attached to material things, and there's memories involved. So if that's the case, you know, do you hold on to certain things? Obviously I let them go, and cause you can't microwave them or they blow up. and they don't dishwasher safe very well. So, I did let them go, but I was very, shocked, and it just made me look at things differently and how much we do hold on to things. And even on relationships and things like that, what we hold on to is a memory. And does it serve its purpose? So I was reading something, and it was something I saw on the internet, and it said about holding on to things, and it said, trust in the future. Shelves of unopened or unused items can signal just-in-case thinking and lack of trust in the future. They can also signal aspiration to do or something or be something we're not. And then if we donate these items, it can free up the space in our homes, our hearts, and our heads and help us move on. And I remember trying to, now I don't come, from hoarding by accident. My mom and dad were the epitome of hoarders. And I do think it's how they grew up. You know, they didn't have a lot of money when they grew up, but my dad's a doctor, or was a doctor, my mom was a nurse. They would literally hold on to things like you wouldn't believe. And it was just piles and piles of stuff. And so I tried to help them one day, and I asked my dad if I could throw away this tablecloth. And it was paper tablecloth, red, white, and blue from 1976. It was just folded and sitting on a shelf. And he said, oh, no, you can't throw that away. You're going to have to talk to your mom. I think she'll want it. I'm like, do you understand that this is like never going to happen again? And, you know, and he wouldn't throw it away. But somehow my husband got in there and talked my dad through a lot and cleaned out his space. And my dad loved his space after that. And he could work in it and helped him. You know, he loved to do woodworking. And so he could actually find things. And so what are you holding on to? And what are the reasons you're holding on to it for? So I there's a Mindful Living magazine. And one of the things I thought was really interesting, and this is, I think, what happens to me, is that you feel like you may need it one day. You know, like, okay, I love clothes. I will tell you that. And I go through and clean out my clothes all the time. And my girlfriend totally scores. I give her all my stuff and she loves it. And then I see it on her and I want it back. I'm terrible. But what are we holding on to? What do we feel that we may need, you know, and if we lose it, what will happen? So work on that. Like, what do you have in your life? What are you looking for? So I'm going to read this to you. So you feel like you'll need it one day. What if you threw it out and missed it later? Because of that aversion to loss, you hang on to the huge ball of rubber bands or those hotel-sized toiletries. Oh my God, I do that all the time. That accumulate just in case you need them for a trip someday. Furthermore, it feels wasteful to get rid of things you might need down the road. Now, I have that where I feel wasteful, like, especially because I go to Haiti and things like that. So it's like, you know, you think about how lucky you are to have this stuff and you don't want to throw it away. Plus, you don't want to hurt the environment with plastic and things like that. So all of this stuff comes in. So I hold it instead and then I don't clear it up. So one of the things they say is focus instead on the right here, right now, and what you will need in the present. I think we all could work on that. Banish the what ifs and what thens and let go. If you need a framework, my husband says this to me all the time, use a year as a guideline. If you haven't used something in that period, get rid of it. I can't always go with that. Sorry. I have dresses that sometimes I don't wear for a year, but I may need them. But on the other hand, getting rid of things and clearing the way out is very, very nice. And it does open up. It doesn't open up. Think about when you're like bogged down with something. So this is another thing that you get caught up in the idea of something. We all know those people who love gear and accessories. They take a music lesson and run out and buy an expensive guitar, or they have brunch one Sunday and dream of waffles every day, courtesy of the new waffle iron. They might envision dinner parties full of good food and friends. The problem is either these pursuits are fleeting or they never happen at all. Yet in reality, all the aspirational stuff just lingers around in disuse. Okay, I can tell you. When we cleaned the kitchen, there was some sort of contraption I had. And I didn't know what it was. And my husband's like, I go, what is this? He goes, don't you remember you bought that? And I'm like, no. And he goes, yeah, you were on a big kick. And I said, what was it? And he goes, I don't know. And so I still couldn't figure out even what it was or its purpose. Then when I decided to go through all these cookbooks that I never use, I found the directions on how to use that machine. And it was something about like ice cream, but it wasn't really ice cream. It was like soft serve fruit ice something. And apparently I dusted off my memory and I think I used it once, but I felt guilty because I bought it. I felt guilty because I hadn't used it. And hey, that was a good idea. Maybe I could use it. So no, we got rid of it. But, you know, so now I open my covers and seriously, everything has its place. And it's kind of weird for me. My husband's loving life right now. He's in the best mood. I will say, when I cleaned my office and filed all this stuff away, all my surfaces were totally clean. I was uncomfortable. I couldn't figure out why I was uncomfortable. I'm like, why is this making me feel uncomfortable to have such a neat environment? And I realized that messiness in my office means that I'm busy. And I was like, well, what's up with that? But that's how I work. And so I will say, within, I don't know, 7 hours, I did put piles back up a little bit. And that's just how I work. I don't think that that's necessarily wrong for me, but my husband doesn't work that way at all. No, he has a piece of paper, he files it away. It's great because when we have to go up and find tax stuff, I always know where to find it. I have to make sure I put it back. So here's another one. And this is a toughie. It reminds you of something or someone. Getting rid of stuff that holds meaning only makes it harder to purge. You might need the connection you feel by holding on to the objects, or worried you'll forget about it once it's gone. Whether it's your mother's magazine clippings or your kid's artwork, they hold emotional weight that's hard to dismiss. I still have Emma's first grade report card. What am I going to do with that? Do you think she's going to take it? I don't know.
I think when it comes to kids, keeping a scrapbook of their art, if it's all in one place and organized, there's nothing wrong with keeping tons of it. That's the way I look at it. You know, if you've got one bin and it's dedicated to the artwork and you put the report cards in there and school pictures from
throughout
the years.
So where do you put the bin?
Well, I mean, if it's just one bin of that, but I am not the one to talk to about that. I needed to hear this today because I have so much junk. I've moved it probably 20 times.
And you move it all with you.
And I always move it.
I
don't even purge when I'm moving. I've got clothes that I haven't worn in years.
Right?
I've got junk that I haven't picked up in years. You know what I did a couple of weeks ago? I cleaned out my closet. I'm going to do it. So I'm pulling everything out. Mm-hmm. I just reorganized it and stuffed it all back.
Well, so you should try this though. Marie Kondo tells you is not just to, kind of go through your closet. She tells you to pile it all on your bed. I mean, everything. Clean every closet that has clothes and just deal with one thing. Don't clothes and belts and there. Just clothes. Pile it all on one bed and take piece by piece. And it's weird. I thought she was nuts. I'm like, oh, this is such a reality show, whatever. But when you pick up a piece of clothing, there is a feeling. You either I always hated this shirt. Why did I hold on to this? Or I will never fit into it. It's a size one. Okay, yeah, I did fit into it once. And that's when I stopped eating during my divorce. I don't think that's going to happen again. At least that's not the plan. So you know what I mean? So it's like we have these psychological connections. Now, I will say for my husband who doesn't hold on to things, when we were in the bar area of our house, and we were cleaning some things out. We were getting rid of some shot glasses and stuff like that that you never use. And they just pile up. And it's well, we got that in DC, remember? Well, so what? We still have the memory. But he had an ice bucket. And I was never crazy about this ice bucket. And it's bulky and it takes up a lot of space. And I'm like, yeah, so what do you think? We can pitch this, right? And he said, no. And I almost fell over. And I'm like, what? You're not going to get rid of something? And he said, no, that's my father's. And his father passed away when he was 12. And he said, that's really, I don't have a lot of anything of my father's. And I'm like, oh, and I put it back up and I dusted it off. I'm like, oh, yes, we are totally keeping that. So that makes sense to me. So this thing says select a few things to hang on to physically and keep them close by. For everything else, try taking a picture instead to remind you, or scan items to keep in a digital file if you must. Try other ways to record your memories, such as writing in a journal or keeping a blog. And, I do worry about, the photos I throw away and things like that, because sometimes, if you get down about your career and you need a boost and you see some of the great shows you had that you never thought you'd ever have, or, just good memories to see how many things you've done in your life, just memories like that. But I mean, that is the way you could scan them, but I know I would never scan them. They'd stay in a box and I never go in them anyway. So let's get real, people. I don't know. It definitely is a mind game in so many ways, but now I have a cleaner area and there's so many photos on my phone or website or things like that. And even my daughter's stuff, though, that is, you're right. I mean, that is something, it's so fleeting when you have children and how fast it goes. You like to go back and like hear her voice when she was five compared to now. She's like, hey, mom, you know, it's so different. So, okay, here's another thing. You think you should keep it. Oh, this is another one I have. So your guilt weighs heavily when your favorite aunt gives you a vase that you outwardly thank her for, but inwardly really hate. And you can't bring yourself to get rid of it when you know she went to a store, you know, selected it herself, paid good money for it. You resign yourself to dragging it out to display every time she comes to visit. I don't necessarily, well, yes, I do. I'm going to be honest here. But there are things that people give you and you're just like, what am I going to do with this? But you do feel bad. Or, okay, so let me ask you, what do you do, Rami? Do people send you Christmas cards with their family photo?
Yeah, I get.
My God.
So I don't give Christmas cards. And so either. Slowly my family has kind of dropped off from that. It's like they would send them to me quite a bit, especially after my son was born. And, you know,
but
it's like, you know, I've got cousins that have like the perfect little house and the perfect little family. And so like every year they do a Christmas card and it's like, well, once they don't get one back from me for a couple of years, I stop getting them.
I know, but what do you do?
What do you do with it?
Yeah. I mean, you're
I've
not going to put
old
like
birthday cards that, you know, people have sent to. And you know what? My mom always writes a touching letter in my birthday card. So sometimes when I'm feeling down, I'll grab one.
I do like that. Yeah.
But they're also covered in dust.
Right.
And the like receipts. Why do I have receipts for anything?
Oh,
I don't.
Husband. He shows me this app that you're supposed to do for receipts. But, you know, getting back to the cards or something with the people's pictures on it. I mean, every time I do it, I feel horrible. But now knowing this like little thing that you're supposed to thank them. So you thank everything. So thank you for this beautiful Christmas card. Your family's beautiful. Blessings to you and into the garbage you go. You know, you just kind of feel guilty about that. But on the other hand, I'm really feeling a freedom with this whole thank you thing. You know, I do adore that. You know, so I'm able to wrap my head around it. But you said something and it was stirring in my head and now I can't think of what it was. But receipts and all those things that you're like, oh, my gosh, what should I do with them? But they just keep piling and piling and piling and piling. Get rid of them.
And then the thing that you're looking for that you really need, you can't find it.
You can't find it because.
Oh, my God.
Because you have so much stuff.
I'll go crazy. I'm in my room. I'm like, where is it? I know where I left it. And nope, can't find it. But I've got a whole bunch of junk that I don't need. And I can find that easily while I'm looking for something.
I think one of the hardest things I threw away this weekend, and I still don't know if it was the right thing to do, was I had a boss that I worked for forever. And he was quite a father figure to me. And the day before he died, I went and said, you know, I knew I was saying goodbye to him. And he was, you know, he was dying of cancer and he was on morphine. He was home. So, you know, he wasn't making that much sense, but he hugged me for the first time ever because he wasn't like, you know, non-touchy-feely and very professional. And he hugged me and he said to his wife, does she know how to get home? Because he knows I'm geographically challenged. And he lived out in White Lake. And he's like, here. And he drew a map on a napkin. And I kept it forever. And I tell you, I did get rid of it, but I was like, I didn't want to get rid of it. But it just kept moving from place to place. And I didn't even know where it was. You know what I mean? I just bumped into it. So those kind of things. It's like, do you hold on to them? I don't know. You know?
Did you take a picture of it with your phone? That's what I would have done.
For something
like that, you could take the picture and then have that memory. You still have the memory and the picture of it.
Yeah. But. And I mean, the good thing is I will always have the memory. I'll always have the memory. I just explain the memory to you. So that is something that we can think about. You always have that memory. So what are you holding on to in your life? And, you know, I was going to approach the whole idea of people too, but let's just stay with materialistic things now and material things. What are you holding on to and why are you holding on to them? If you're holding on to them on the what ifs, if you're holding on to them of fear of not having, if you really don't have a reason to hold on to them, get rid of them. Because you know what? In the long run, I don't know about you, but I had my grandma Sophie. Every time I went to her house, she gave something to me. I realized it wasn't because she wanted to give something to me. I realized she just wanted to get it out of her house. And I kept that. With guilt. And then eventually it was even like, you know, plasticware that I didn't want. But, you know, so clear up your life. Clear up your life. Live in the present. Don't worry about the past. Don't force yourself to fear the future. Live with what you have. And really, if you have love and hope in your heart, and you know that you're safe because you're in your surroundings, be grateful for what you have, and then thank the things that you don't need, and go ahead and recycle, by the way, but go ahead and either give them to someone else or put them in the garbage, or, like, you know, I go to Haiti every year, we take clothes. So if you got something like that, hey, give them to me. I'll take care of it. I promise I won't keep it. I will put it to the Haitians to good use. But, you know, I hope this helped today. I am actually going home and I'm going to start again in my closet and finish that up. And my husband's ecstatic. So wish me luck. I wish you luck. Thanks for tuning in. Until next week.